Matt Devlin, play-by-play voice of the Toronto Raptors, joining us. Matt, I guess you wish you were in Hawaii too, but the Raptors certainly have a different preseason this year.
Well, they certainly do, and you know what? The team went out to Victoria and then on to Hawaii, and you know, I decided actually that since we weren't broadcasting the games, to get some family time before the season starts. They're going to pick up the feed of the LA Clippers while they're there. And so from a preseason standpoint, we'll actually only broadcast just one of the games. They'll pick up the feed of the opposing team. So it is a different camp, considering that you mix in going to Hawaii. But, you know, as those NBA aficionados may recall, the Los Angeles Lakers used to host their training camp there. The Clippers, obviously now with Jerry West as a consultant, decided to go to Hawaii, and they were looking for a partner. And Bobby Webster, who is a general manager now of the Toronto Raptors, is from Hawaii. So there was some symmetry there, and it worked out.
Well, it worked out, and it is a beautiful place on the planet to be there, and good on you for getting some family time in before the season, because the season really is all-encompassing for all of us that work in sports, Matt. And so let's talk, though, just about the nature. Sometimes, you know, teams will say, and that's, by the way, as beautiful as Hawaii is, it's a long way to go. And it sometimes can be a distraction and get you off. But early in the preseason like that, I guess on the other hand, too, it's a different way of doing it. And maybe it just beats hanging around and doing it locally, I suppose, right?
Well, as you well know, every year the Raptors have done an outstanding job of whether it be in Halifax or Ottawa or Vancouver or here in Toronto. They have gone to different parts of Canada to be, you know, fully integrated into the country. And I think that that's certainly something that's been, you know, important for them. The last 3 years they've been in Vancouver. This time they decided to go to Victoria and then on to Hawaii. That's a different piece. And then they'll kind of work their way back, you know, west back to east. October 10th, they'll have their one home game. Also, the preseason is shorter than it was in years past, which I think is, you know, a benefit to all the teams. But I will say this, that, you know, I hope that for the fans of the Toronto Raptors in years to come, that they do get back to, you know, last year we went to Calgary, you know, we've been to Montreal. I do like, you know, going to the different cities in Canada and throughout Canada, because I think that it's really valuable to the Toronto Raptors and specifically their fan base.
Oh, sure. Brand them as Canada's team. I think it's fantastic. You're right about that. Matt Devlin is with us, play-by-play voice of the Raptors. I'm Roger Lajoie. Sportsnet tonight, Raptors preseason kicks off against the Clippers tonight. So, Matt, what kind of a training camp is this for the Raptors, given the fact that in the offseason they solidified bringing back, you know, Ibaka and DeRozan and Lowry? The core of this team is the same, while other teams in the East, in particular Cleveland and Boston, made a major deal and have revamped the rosters quite a bit. The Raptors really didn't. There are some good young players in training camp, don't get me wrong, but is this entire process of training camp followed by the shorter preseason just ticking some time to the regular season? Or how many decisions, and are there any difficult decisions that have to be made as a result of what we're going to see in the next 2 weeks or so?
Well, I do think that there's going to be some decisions made. Number one, there is a tremendous amount of continuity for the Raptors, specifically with four of their five starters, getting three of Jonas along with Kyle and DeMar back. The continuity from Serge Ibaka, they didn't have an immense amount of time with Serge, but yet it's somebody that they've been on the court with before. I think that's certainly important. Then you add in CJ Miles. So certainly, you know, you're going to be looking to involve him with the other four. And then I think it's, you know, it becomes a big preseason in a way. And I'm not, you know, I don't know how you look at the preseason, Roger, but I don't look at it in wins and losses. I know that certainly the Montreal Canadiens fans don't want to look at it in wins and losses, but you know, you look at it from the standpoint of, are you getting better? And are you finding out about your team? And that's what I mean about getting better. Are you finding out about who can fit into what place? And so there are certainly roles that need to be defined. You have DeJuan Wright moving up because Corey Joseph now is Indiana. You have Norman Powell's role expected to grow. You have Fred VanVleet, who everybody was raving about on Media Day, his role quite possibly becoming a little bit more significant, or at least larger. And then you also have a couple of additions in Kyle Wilcher and Andy Routens, who in the inter-squad game, between the two of them, made nine threes. And I really believe that having those two players with the way that the game is being played now at the NBA level, I really think that you need to find out if you want to keep both of them. And quite honestly, I would, with the way that the game's being played. You have a 30-year-old veteran in Andy Routens, veteran from the stance of a professional veteran that's played in Europe, that's led the Turkish league in three-point shooting, which is an excellent league. And then you have Kyle Wilcher, you know, who's 6'9", 6'10", and is that stretch four type of player that can shoot the three. And so he becomes extremely intriguing. So those two players, to me, are a couple of guys that you take a look at.
Will be interesting, and of course, lots of decisions to make, as you said. So how about, you know, players like Norm Powell, DeLon Wright, you know, OG is obviously going to be interesting to see how he does as a first-round pick. But how much of a work in progress? Because, again, I go back to, you know, Matt, the core of this team, it's a veteran team. And, yes, there's playing time and rosters, but throughout the course of the season, it's not as urgent that they find someone in training camp that'll you know, become an impact player for them. So how do you work your talent in knowing that when you're going into the season?
Well, I think that roles need to be defined, and the sooner that these roles can be defined, the better that this team will be earlier on in the season. And so, you know, there are going to be different combinations based upon different opponents. I mean, there's no doubt, as we know, Serge Ibaka is going to spend time at the five. And so what does that mean? Does it, you know, CJ Miles at the four? Is it, you know, DeMar and Norman Powell on the floor together with CJ Miles and Serge Ibaka and Kyle Lowry? Will it be DeLon Wright, Kyle Lowry, and DeMar and C.J. Miles and Serge Ibaka? So there are some intriguing lineups when you go quote-unquote small that I think that you'll see combinations of those here in the preseason. You know, the one thing about DeLon is that, you know, at 6'5", he provides a tremendous amount of length at the point guard position. So when you go quote-unquote small on the defensive end, you can match back up where you have Kyle guarding the one, and then DeLon actually can guard the two. And then when you go back on the offensive end, you have DeLon running the point and Kyle plays off the ball at the two. So, you know, that to me is something to look for, along with, you know, DeMar then sliding down to the three. And is it going to be CJ at the four at that time and then Serge at the five? So, you know, this is a team that can play bigger if they need to. But it's a team that certainly can play smaller. And then you also want to find out exactly what you're going to get. You know, CJ Miles is one of the top corner three-point shooters in the NBA percentage-wise. He was second, Roger. The Raptors 2 seasons ago were seventh in the league in corner three-point percentage. Last year they were 23rd, and that's a significant drop. And they need to, you know, have that three-point shooting again, because it creates spacing for, you know, DeMar DeRozan to operate. And last year in the NBA, over 65,000 threes were attempted, which were the most in the history of the league. In fact, 6,000 more than the previous high, which was only 2 seasons ago. So I think you're going to see, you know, the Raptors incorporate a little bit more of that. And so that's something certainly to watch out for in the preseason.
Yeah, how they go about their business this year will be interesting. And the preseason definitely, Matt, will be a reflection of that. We really did not see a lot of, you know, Ibaka because of injuries and timing and everything else, the core of this team in the regular season last year. Is much time spent in the preseason, exploring that, or is it a case of there was enough time in the regular season and the playoffs last year that the degree of comfort of bringing in a player of that magnitude is now a foregone conclusion?
Well, I think that there's certainly time that he'll need with Kyle, because as we know, Kyle and Serge didn't play a ton together, but I do believe that that's something that'll be worked out quickly. And, you know, look at the Raptors. They started the year, Roger, 22-8. And when you start 22-8, you're doing a lot of things well, and they were doing a lot of things offensively well. You know, it was interesting when they started to get consumed with, you know, we have to defend better because that's what's going to happen in the playoffs. Well, as we all know, the NBA, you know, really has changed. It's an offensive league. And when that offense was asked to do a lot defensively, it's when the offense kind of faltered a little bit and they went into a sub-500 in January and February. And then Kyle Lowry, you know, was injured there, although they did go 15-7 without him. But he and Serge were not on the court together really until the final regular season game or last couple of games of the regular season and then into the playoffs. So to me, you know, that will be important. And I do think that in everybody, as we know, in the NBA always likes to take a look at Golden State and Cleveland, and rightfully so, and maybe even now Boston, although I think that they've lost some really good role players, Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk, that may affect them. But, you know, this is a league where the regular season really matters. And the reason why it really matters is you want to avoid Cleveland and you want to avoid Golden State for as long as you quite possibly can in the postseason. And then obviously say a couple of prayers, hope to get a little bit lucky deep into the playoffs when you're taking that team on. So, you know, that was something that the Raptors, unfortunately, they had an opportunity to finish first last year in the East and were unable to do that. And I think that that's certainly something that you have to take a look at if you're Toronto. I know that there are a lot of prognosticators out there that think they're the fifth or sixth best team in the East. I still believe that they're a top three team in the East. And if they can get some productivity out of CJ Miles, if they can get some productivity out of Norman and DeLon, and quite possibly, you know, someone else from a three-point shooting standpoint, you know, I think that this is a team that certainly has that capability of finishing top three.
Matt Devlin with us, play-by-play voice of the Raptors. Before we let you go, Matt, then, how do you think the offseason of Cleveland and Boston shapes up to the Raptors? Because, my goodness, it certainly was interesting with both teams, and they're going to be very different looking this year.
Well, they certainly are. I mean, let's start with Boston, because certainly that's, big, you know, talk and, you know, topic of conversation with respect to, you know, Danny Ainge sitting on a lot of draft choices and money, decides to go get Gordon Hayward, who, you know, played for Brad Stevens at Butler. And you have Al Horford, and now you bring in Kyrie Irving. They're going to be intriguing, but the one thing that they had before was a team that, you know, went nine deep and everybody bought into a team style of play. And you had the one offensive threat in Isaiah Thomas, key threat. And I think that that now changes, obviously. And as I mentioned before, I do think that they are going to miss the Jay Crowders and the Avery Bradleys from a defensive standpoint, and from, you know, being those role players that aren't looking for shots, but instead are just looking to, you know, get things done on the defensive end. So that may take some time. I may be wrong, but that may take some time. The other thing about Kyrie, and he, as we all know, is a wonderful player. You know, he's really at his best when he's playing off of the basketball. So will they ask Marcus Smart to play on the ball and have Kyrie play off it? It'll be interesting. As we know, you know, LeBron played a lot of the one and Kyrie played the two in Cleveland. And then with the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, they kind of, I like actually the trade, Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder. I think Jay Crowder is a great fit for them. And now you bring in Dwayne Wade. That's certainly, you know, intriguing. And you have Isaiah Thomas, and they're a team that's going to, I think, be right there, you know, at the top. So, you know, it ends up, I think Cleveland, quite honestly, could be better than they were last year.